The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs continued the theme of Week 8, just kicking somebody's ass in this game. The Chiefs just rolled in this one, 28-7. It really, you know, it started actually out interesting to begin with. It was basically turnover central for both teams. It was Patrick Mahomes' interception, then Washington turned it over, then another Patrick Mahomes interception, then a turnover on downs from Washington. It just was looking like it was going to be close, and then Kansas City was like, nah, we're Kansas City. And they just went ahead and started scoring the touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes went 25 for 34, 299 yards and 3 touchdowns. Travis Kelce, 99 yards and a touchdown. It was just an all-around ownage game from the Kansas City Chiefs and just a terrible game from the Washington Commanders. Moving on to the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. I went ahead and kept the same number one this week. Being the number one, is the Detroit Lions. They're 5-2 on the season, and it's just because they're on a bye week, so can't knock them down. They still look great. I mean, overall this season, they are one of the top teams in the league, obviously. I mean, offensively, they've got 27 total TDs, and then defensively, they got 9 forced fumbles, 7 interceptions, and 23 sacks on the season, so they're taking care of business on both sides of the ball. They're really stepping up against every team that they play. And they just look, once again, like they are ready to try and make a championship run. And so I definitely could not knock them down just because they were on a bye week. Then at number 2 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, overall record of 6-2. And this team, obviously, it's all about Baker motherfucking Mayfield. He's got 1,919 passing yards and 13 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions on the season. So just really dominating in every single game. He is missing somebody from his offensive line. He's missing somebody from the wide receiver core. Sometimes he's missing 2 or 3 guys from the wide receiving core. So it's missing running backs on occasions as well, but he's Mr. Consistent. And it doesn't matter who his receivers are. He just gets them the ball, and he's able to he just spreads the ball around. He just makes great decisions, and has just been having a phenomenal year. But defensively, that's just really where I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are keeping in it as well. You know, Baker's doing his job on the offensive side of the ball, but the defense is doing things. They're getting at the quarterback. They've got 25 sacks on the season, 7 interceptions, so they're getting the turnovers as well. And they're just looking like a really, really good, solid defense. And I just expect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to just keep it rolling. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, overall record of 5-1-1, and I just feel like this team just gets better each and every week, especially Jordan Love. He is having a phenomenal year with 1,798 passing yards, 13 touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions. He also just seems to be getting the ball to everybody, just like Baker Mayfield. It just doesn't matter who his receivers are. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it'll be Tucker Kraft who steps up. Sometimes it'll be, you know, the running back or whatever. But it just kind of feels like it doesn't matter who his receivers are. Sometimes they're injured. Sometimes they're not. They don't even really – I wouldn't even really call any of their receivers a number one guy, but yet they look like number one guys with Jordan Love passing them the ball. And then defensively, it kind of feels like they're getting stronger each and every game. So the Packers seem to be getting stronger as the season rolls on. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Indianapolis Colts, overall record of 7-1. And I just keep saying it about Jonathan Taylor. The guy seems to be getting stronger as the season goes on as well. He still leads the league in rushing, 850 yards and 12 touchdowns. It feels like he's scoring about 2 or 3 touchdowns a game. It's just crazy. And not only is he scoring touchdowns, but they're like chunk plays for like 40 yards, 30 yards. I can't remember how many 20-plus yard runs he's got, but he's got quite a few. And then on the offensive side of the ball, it's not just him. It's the entire offense. They've got 32 total touchdowns on the season so far. And Daniel Jones, he's playing some mistake-free football. And they just look really, really put together, especially when Jonathan Taylor is just back there. and taking care of business. But defensively, they look really solid as well. They've got 10 interceptions on the season, so they're getting turnovers. And they're setting their offense up in good field positions at certain times as well. So I really like what I see from this Colts team. I just kept wondering, are they for real? Are they for real? I still kind of think that, but I mean, Jonathan Taylor, he's been healthy. He's been having a phenomenal year, and it just kind of feels like the more he keeps plugging along, this team keeps plugging along with the wins. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 5-2, and James Cook is having a great year. He's got 753 yards rushing on the ground and 7 touchdowns, but also defensively, this is a great team, 10 forced fumbles, 22 sacks, so they're really getting at the quarterback. They're really taking care of business at the ground attack, and like I said, offensively, it's not just Cook. Of course, Josh Allen, the reigning MVP, he's doing his thing, but it's just they're really putting it together. This is another team that doesn't really have a number one receiver, but it has yet to really show, hasn't really been a problem yet so far this season. But they just keep scoring the points, and their defense just keeps making the stops, and this team just keeps looking better each and every week. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Philadelphia Eagles, overall record of 6-2. And it's just this team, they are winning in different ways every single week. One week it's their ground attack. The next week, it's their defense. The next week, it's their special teams. The next week, it's Jalen Hurts. The next week, it's A.J. Brown. It's Saquon. It's just they literally have won in a different way every single week, and it doesn't matter if it's an ass-kicking. It doesn't matter if it's close. And actually, right now, it kind of feels like they're starting to get on a roll, especially with the last game. I mean, they really played great football. It just was all-around solid football, and it just kind of feels like the Eagles, even though they have their issues with each other, it doesn't matter. They still continue to win just because they have so much talent on the field. But like I said, they win in so many different ways, and that's just championship-level football. That's just all there is to say about it. So Philadelphia Eagles keep on rolling. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that's just super hot, looking like they're about to explode, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 5-3. Patrick Mahomes has held it down every single game this season. He's got 2,099 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. As an offense, though, they've got 26 total touchdowns, so they're really actually starting to get going. He's also distributing the ball spectacularly. It feels like he's got a different guy he focuses in on each and every game. And they're winning in different ways as well. Their defense, taking care of business. They really know how to make the stops when it's necessary. And they're getting the turnovers when necessary and really just making it difficult, even on really short yardage plays. Even if it's like 3rd and 1, you can't ever guarantee that you're going to get even that yard against that Kansas City Chiefs defense. But so far, it looks like this team's really putting it together. And, I mean, they've been the dynasty now for a while. So it's like you can't overlook this team ever. And to start the season, they didn't look good. And even on this little bit of a winning streak that they've got on, it's kind of like, are they looking good? And it's like, yeah, actually they are. Just every single week they're getting better. And Patrick Mahomes has been on fire from the jump. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the New England Patriots, overall record of 6-2. And it is all about Drake May. He is holding it down for the New England Patriots. They finally have their quarterback of the future. Obviously, he's got big shoes to fill in Tom Brady, but I don't expect him to be Tom Brady. I don't think Patriots fans expect him to be Tom Brady. They just need him to be Drake May. And so far, Drake May is looking pretty damn good, at least this season he is. He's playing really mistake-free football. He's got 2,026 yards passing, 15 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions. So he's distributing the ball with precision. He's making good decisions, and you know, he also doesn't really have a number one dude to lock in on. I mean, Diggs, he's there, but I mean, he's not the same Diggs that he used to be. But I mean, so far, Drake May's just been getting the ball out. He just looks really solid. He's making really smart decisions, and then of course this New England Patriots defense, they are really sneaky good. They are also taking care of business. They're making it really difficult to even get a yard on them as well. And then just setting their offense up in good field position. And then Drake May and the rest of the offense are just taking care of business. And this New England Patriots team, they're actually tops in their division above the Buffalo Bills. But still, even though they beat the Bills, I still think the Bills overall, if they were to play a playoff game today, I would take the Bills in that one. But hey, that's why they play the game. But New England is looking pretty solid so far this season. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Denver Broncos, overall record of 6-2. And this team, talk about great defense. This team is absolutely led by their defense. Their offense still shaky in certain ways, but they're still getting the job done. But it's the defense that's really getting the job done. Benito has 8 sacks on the season. Cooper has 6 sacks on the season. And as a defense, they have 36 sacks on the season. So they are getting at the quarterback. Every single quarterback that plays them is pretty much having issues, even getting into the red zone. And when they get into the red zone, the Broncos are making plays. And their offense is doing just enough to keep up. But this Broncos defense is, I'd say, probably the best in the league, especially at getting at the quarterback. They are really making it difficult for every single offense that faces them. And that is why they are 6-2. And rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, have the Los Angeles Rams. Overall record of 5-2. Matthew Stafford having another phenomenal year with 1,866 yards passing, 17 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. But it's not just him. The defense is really, really taking care of business. They've got 7 forced fumbles on the season and 26 sacks, so they are getting at the quarterback. And it's just, I kind of feel like the Rams, to me, are really the only team I could trust in the NFC West. You know, the Niners, they've had all their issues with their injuries, and at some point that really is going to take a toll on you. I mean, it has already kind of taken a toll on them, but it's going to keep on taking a toll on them. And then the Seahawks, I still don't really know how I feel about them, whereas the Rams, you know, a good chunk of this squad has won a Super Bowl. You have a solid veteran quarterback like Matthew Stafford back there. You have a great receiver like Devontae Adams. You have another great receiver like Puka Nacua. You have a solid running back with Kyren Williams, and then you've got this really stout defense that's taking care of business. And if this defense is able to keep it moving, then this Rams team should be pretty good heading down the playoff stretch. But my only issue that I see with the Rams is their second half. They tend to get going right out the gate, and they score a lot of points in the first half. And then once the second half rolls around, they start to slow down. And I kind of feel like they need to keep it moving, because there's been a couple of games, there are 2 losses this season. That's basically what's happened, is they've got right out to a lead and then they blew it in the end. So I kind of feel like they need to maintain those leads the entire way through. But other than that, this is looking to be a really good squad. All right, moving on to Thursday Night Football this week. We have the Baltimore Ravens at the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the Ravens are a 7.5-point favorite. And Lamar Jackson is expected back this week for the Ravens. So, you know, he's missed, the last 3-4 weeks. So with that hamstring injury. So they're getting him back. And they actually played a really good game without him last week. And even though Miami stepped it up last week, this team is still in complete and utter disarray. Whereas the Ravens, I totally trust them way more than I do the Dolphins. I mean, the Ravens defense is finally starting to get healthy. So I kind of feel like it's going to get better as the season wears on. And then you got Lamar Jackson back, who's probably ready to play, who's probably ready to show the world that, hey, I'm still here just because I'm injured. Don't forget about this dude. And so I kind of, and then, you know, Derrick Henry, he went off last week as well. So I just kind of feel like this is going to be a nice get-right game for Lamar Jackson, and a nice solid win for the Ravens. I've got the Ravens winning 27-10. All right, moving on to this World Series. This has been quite a World Series. Obviously, these are the 2 best baseball teams left, because, I mean, you know, the Blue Jays, they were the number one seed in the American League. And then the Dodgers, even though they weren't number one, it didn't matter. They still had the depth. But so far, every game has pretty much been a battle. And we had a battle in Game 3 between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays, because it went 18 innings. It was really crazy. It was just back and forth for a good chunk of the game. And then all of a sudden you hit, I want to say it was the 6th-ish inning. I mean, a lot of it just gels together because it was such a long game, and I did not stay up for all of it. There was no way. I only made it to the 11th inning, and I was just like, I could just see how the game was going. I was like, I feel like this is going to be a long one. And I wasn't sticking around. I was way too tired. I'm too old for that shit. But so it was back and forth. And finally, the Dodgers were able to break through. And that dude, Freddie Freeman, he do what he do. He hit the game-winning home run to give the Dodgers the win in game 3, 6-5. Shohei Ohtani also had 2 home runs in this game. He actually reached base 9 times. He was 4-for-4 with 2 home runs, but then they walked him the other 5 times he came up to bat. So he ended up reaching base 9 times, which is just a crazy statistic in and of itself. And so the Dodgers took game 3, but then game 4 went to the Toronto Blue Jays. They took the lead, or they took the game 6-2. This one was actually close for, I want to say, about till the 5th inning, and then it just got busted wide open afterwards. You know, Vlad Guerrero, he went 2-for-4. He had a home run, 2 RBI, and it just once the gates opened, it was just nonstop for the Blue Jays. And actually, Shane Bieber, who they traded for earlier in the season, right at the trade deadline, who really hasn't played the majority of the season, but he is a Cy Young award-winning pitcher. We all know what he's capable of, and he pitched a gem of a game. He went 5.1 innings with 3 strikeouts and really just held it down, even though it was really close and really tight, but the Toronto Blue Jays got it. And now we're all tied up, and Game 5 is tonight in Los Angeles. And moving on to the college football AP Top 10 college football teams, not a lot of movement, but I gotta say, I feel like there's one team that should be number one, and they're not number one, but we'll get there. I mean, I understand why Ohio State is still number one, because spoiler alert, that is who remains number one this week, 7-0, but it's just kind of like, to me, their strength of schedule has been very, 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 very weak, and I get it, you don't want to knock them down, because they've been number one all season. What have they done to be knocked down? But there's a few other teams I look at, especially one here. I guess you could make an argument for the next two, but there's one where I'm like, I feel like this is number one team. But Ohio State remains number one. Number two is Indiana at 8-0. I think you could make an argument for them, but for me, it's number 3. Texas A&M, they got a huge win. They could potentially be on upset alert because they were playing against LSU. Well, they absolutely obliterated LSU 49-25. To move on to 8-0, and in my personal opinion, Texas A&M should be number one. But hey, the rankings really don't matter. As long as you make the college football playoff, you're all good. But Texas A&M, to me, is the best team in college football, at least right now. They are playing great offensively. They're playing great defensively. There really isn't a weakness in this team, and they're kicking everybody's ass, too. Most of their games aren't even really close, and LSU, they got their coach fired. The LSU fired their coach like right after this game. And so that's how bad they got their asses beat in this one. And LSU had high expectations this year. So Texas A&M is kicking ass, and I feel like they should be number one. But, of course, they're not number one. But, hey, whatever. They're number 3. Moving up, number 4, Alabama. They're 7-1 on the season. Number 5, Georgia, 6-1 on the season. Number 6, Oregon, 7-1 on the season. Number 7, Ole Miss, 7-1 on the season. Number 8, Georgia Tech, 8-0 on the season. Number 9, Vanderbilt, they're 7-1 on the season. And they're really the only team this week in the top 10 that really has a semi-attractive game, and that would be at number 20, my Texas Longhorns this week. But got to say, my hopes are not high for that one. That's why I'm like, I guess it's kind of an interesting game, but I'm actually expecting Vanderbilt to kick our ass. And then we actually have a tie at number 10 this week between BYU, who is 8-0 on the season, and Miami, who is 6-1 on the season. So that is the AP College Football Top 10 this week. Not a lot of attractive games. That's why I had to give Vanderbilt the one at Texas. But I just, like I said, my hopes are not high for that one. I'm not expecting a good game from Texas in that one. They have not shown anything offensively this year, but I digress. So that is the top 10. Like I said, Texas A&M should be number one, but they are not. But they're still in the tournament. So, but they are kicking ass and taking names. And I just kind of feel like they're not getting that respect, but that's okay. I guess they're just going to have to prove it come college football playoff time. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.